And Scott Weems with us, his book, How We're Talking About Laughter. It is a great medicine. We're going to take your calls, questions, and stories. I'd love to hear one of your stories where you witnessed this, some kind of laughter. Just share it with us, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Scott Weems with us, and of course, we'll take your calls in a second. Scott, when you talk to people about laughter, what do they say to you primarily? How does the topic come up?
Everybody seems to be drawn to the topic. I'm very fortunate that I study humor because, I mean, everybody loves comedy. Everybody loves to laugh. And so I think that's one thing we all have in common. So when people ask me about my book and want to talk to me about it, they all want to share their own funny stories, their own experiences of laughter. And it's nice. I think it's something that brings us all together. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, for me as an experience as a writer.
And, you know, when you started doing this, did you run into any obstacles?
A little bit, and just in the sense that humor is still a second-rate topic in academia, which I think is a shame. And that there is a healthy amount of research in the topic now, but I think the number of researchers who study it full-time are few. And it probably still goes back to the very long history we have of thinking that people who laugh are not serious people. And I think there's a difference between being serious and being solemn.
That's right.
Being serious is important. I take the research seriously, and I take humor seriously. It's worthy of respect and study. But I don't think we have to be solemn about as many things as we sometimes are.
But there's a time and a place. I mean, if you broke out in laughter at your company's earnings report in a boardroom and it wasn't very good, I don't think they'd think it was that funny.
No, and I think that's entirely right. And you have to know when are the moments when laughter is appropriate, because if you laugh, it's not going to come across as cruel or mean. And part of that just comes from not being cruel or mean. I think if laughter comes from a general desire to connect with people in a positive way, hopefully those instances then would be rare.
I have seen people laugh hysterically at funerals, but in a good way, laughing about the memory of the person who had departed. It works that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that's a very good thing. Studies have shown that widows who laugh in response to the loss of their loved one are quicker to recover and have greater psychological health during that recovery. People who laugh as they're undergoing treatment for a very serious disease, I think one of the diseases studied was like breast cancer. Those who laugh during their treatment, they recover better. They show strong health benefits from that laughter. So not only is it good psychologically, it's good physically too.
Let's go to the calls for you. We'll go to our first wild card line. Christian in Reseda, California. Hi, Christian. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Love your show, as always. I've been
listening
for a while. And, gentlemen, I don't know your name. What's your name, sir?
Scott.
Scott?
Scott?
Yeah.
All right, Scott. I wanted to share a story with you that happened. I'm a driver, and I was driving on the 101 in California about a couple of weeks back when we had the hard rainstorm that came through. And it was kind of funny because I'm driving, you know, eastbound on the 101 late at night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, rain, there's puddles everywhere. And don't get ahead of me, but there was a car sitting up in the distance about a half mile away. And I'm like, oh, well, what's going on here? You know, because being a truck driver, you got to kind of be aware of what's going on at all times, even if there's debris in the road and stuff. So I see this car and two guys are out there checking out the front of their car. I guess they ran something over. Meanwhile, a Cadillac had passed me up, and I have to say sorry for whoever's listening if they are the individuals that this happened to. This Cadillac ran something over in the middle of the road, and sparks flew up in the rain. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So he pulls over in front of me really fast, and he's trying to find a safe spot to pull over. Well, he pulls past the two guys kind of in a decent speed, and he hit a standing puddle there, and this water shot from there over the hood of the car of the guys that were standing there. The driver of that car saw it happen, so he jumped out of the way, and his buddy in the passenger was kind of walking around the front of it, and he didn't see, and he was looking at his buddy like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, he sees this gigantic wave of water coming down on top of him. His arms flew up in the air. He's up on his tippy toes, and his face was priceless. And he got soaking wet from that tidal wave. So I had to share that with you.
I love that.
And the first thing I would look for is I would hope that the guy who got hit by the water would be laughing himself, because that would give us a little bit more permission to laugh. Because if he's laughing, then it is kind of funny.
I mean, I've seen people break down in hysterics, Scott, when a bird does a little dropping on somebody's head.
Oh, it's happened to me. I mean, it happens to a lot of, you know, things like that happen to all of us. And you're right, if you laugh at it, we recover from it better. And frankly, it is a little bit funny.
It's gross, but it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, accidents happen. And if you can laugh at them, then, I mean, they become what they are, just random events that just kind of humorous.
Have you ever swallowed a bug?
Oh, of course. And yeah, that's along the lines of being hit by bird poop and stuff like that. It's you can't go through life without avoiding these things.
What a feeling. You're there talking, hot summer day, bugs everywhere, and zoom, one goes right down you.
Yep.
Let's go to White Plains, New York. Good morning, Greg. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Scott. How's everybody there?
Everybody's well. Thank you.
I have a question for Scott. Why are some people, and I'll use myself for instance, funnier, spontaneous, rather than if they plan a joke?
It's odd, isn't it? It's very, I mean, there's a difference between planned humor and spontaneous humor. And I think spontaneous humor is a little bit more of a whole brain, it's a quick wit kind of thing. And they're both very difficult to do, but for different reasons. I think practiced humor requires just getting that timing down perfectly, and that's difficult. And, you know, I think comedic timing is difficult because it doesn't follow a formula. You just got to know when to pause by experience. But then there's just the quick wit response that you throw out fast. And I think this is kind of gets you a little bit closer to maybe what you're thinking on a deeper level. You don't have time to self-monitor what you say. And those are my favorite kind of laughs. I wish we understood better exactly what happens in the brain when we do that, but it's my favorite type of laughter because you're just really getting a quick look into what someone is thinking.
We go next to Chris in Clearwater, Florida. It's your turn, Chris. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, I was curious if, Scott, have you heard about a 2007 Japanese study from biomedical research saying that laughter, in the study of epigenetics, that laughter amplified 27 different genes, and 14 of which were linked to natural killer cell activity, which would be anti-cancer, and also found that that activity was elevated during watching a funny video. It remained active 4 hours after the video was done, showing that I think it was up to 11 hours, had a lasting effect up to 11 hours. Are you familiar with that?
I am. I love that study, too, because if I remember right, I think there's like 27 authors on it or something like that. It was a huge study. Yes, and natural killer cells might be my favorite thing, if only for their name, because you just it's so evocative just imagining these things called natural killer cells. But yeah, what they do is they basically tackle things like cancer and viruses and things in our blood that don't belong. And as you said, studies have shown that just watching a funny movie will elevate the levels of these cells in your blood and help combat these diseases. And the findings actually get sometimes even more surreal than that. Studies have shown that watching comedies helps combat dermatitis and helps with insulin rebound in diabetics. The number of health benefits of humor are beyond even what we can understand when looking at the mechanisms of. So, I mean, I love the stuff looking at immune system response because we can understand it and the benefits are just immediately apparent.
Well, we know that stress hurts and it kills and it can destroy your immune system. So let's just reverse it. I think laughter and happiness, I think it does the opposite and makes you feel better.
Absolutely. And in fact, this brings us back to Norman Cousins, who I mentioned before, who laughed himself out of that collagen illness. That's exactly what he said. He said, well, he was getting very stressed at the hospital because they were taking blood from him 4 or 5 times a day and, you know, waking him up during the night. And what if he, you know, what if he just did the opposite of that? If stress was making him feel worse, why not do what makes him feel good, which is laugh? And I think there's, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Let's go to Tom in Manchester, New Hampshire, first-time caller. Tom, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to talk about stress and laughter.
All right.
A job I was working at, there was a fellow there was trying to get me out of there for a couple of years. He finally succeeded, and the security team, the accusations he made, the security team ended up walking me out to the gate, electronic gates packed, closing behind me. And I start laughing hilariously, watching them walk away. And I remember thinking, just a week before, I was saying to myself, I'm not happy working here, but because of the wages and benefits, they're going to have to throw me out of here to make me leave. And there I was.
And they did.
And I couldn't stop laughing. And then in the divorce, I was awarded custody of my daughter and the home. Well, as we went to the home to take possession of the home, my daughter said that, you know, visit, Mommy says, there's a big surprise, Daddy. Well, we went inside the house. It was cleaned out. She even took the dirty shower curtain, the washer, the dryer. We laughed just uncontrollably for what would normally be a rather sad and stressful situation. So stress and laughter, I found situations in my life that they generally, I always see the lighter side of it. There was a situation this last summer where I was helping someone, and they hit me with the tractor and squashed my leg, but I could stand up. They were only, like, damaged, but I could walk on them. I was so happy that I could walk on them. But I had a tear in my pants with a big chunk of flesh hanging out, and I said to the driver, I said, you know, I know we've got a lot of work to do, but I think this might slow us down. Maybe we should take a break.
I love your example.
Bring out the best in me. You know, if you could comment on that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. I love your examples, and I think they're great at showing how, well, there's a saying that if you want to make a point, tell a story. But if you want to make more than one point at once, tell a joke. Now, these aren't jokes, but I think each of the instances you brought up are times when there's kind of internal conflict. Sort of like when you're leaving your job, had you not wanted to leave and be very happy to be leaving, you probably wouldn't have laughed. But there was the mix of them making a show of escorting you out and you wanting to go quite happily. I mean, these are funny mismatches, I guess. And same thing with the terrible accident to your leg, and then the thought of missing work. I mean, clearly missing work should have been the last thing on your mind at that moment. But, you know, just thinking of that too brought on a laugh. And I think this is the vast majority of times we laugh in our lives are these times that have a little bit of stress, and that's why we're laughing, is because you've got a stressful situation and then something else going on behind it that is somewhat amusing.
Scott, John Kennedy was a master at speech giving and always interjected some humor and some jokes and some interesting stories in his speeches. He knew a long time ago that to capture an audience, you also had to make them laugh.
Entirely correct. And in fact, not to throw too much science out there, but studies have shown that even a speech which is disorganized, people will still get the same from it and will like it just as much if you infuse a joke here or there. So humor can kind of make up for a lot, I guess.
Let's go to Snowflake, Arizona. William's with us, west of the Rockies. Hi, William. Go ahead.
George and Scott, I have a story to kind of go with my question.
Sure.
I was saying, have you ever studied the visceral reaction of like, quote, normal, unquote, people, when they hear a psych laugh or a laugh that is not right at all? Because my story is, I used to work at Perry Point, which is a VA hospital, and I used to go in and kind of hear and help a little bit, and there's some disturbing things that I've put in my mind that, you know, And some of that is laughter that will run chills down.
Bob, we lost him right at the end there, so I don't know if there's anything to react to or not, Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, he does raise a good point, though, about there's a lot of different kinds of laughter. Some of it is quite spooky, you know, like some people laugh and it just gives you the chills. Yeah, because
Vincent Price was great for that.
Oh, yeah, and how terrifying is that? I mean, a laugh at the wrong time can just give you chills. And it's interesting because it's very hard to fake laughter. There's specific muscles in the face that we don't naturally use if we fake laughter, so you can kind of tell. But then I think maybe that's, if you link that with maybe someone laughing because they're trying to be cruel or make some very scary point, yeah, it should look weird. It's not natural.
I should do a segment, Scott, on people laughing just to see how they all sound.
Yeah, that would make an interesting art exhibit, wouldn't it?
Sure would. Well, even a witch's cackle, what do you think of that? Is that a laugh?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we laugh at so many different things. I mean, I guess that it is. It's strange. I don't know if we understand too well physically what the mechanism behind that is. I know there are researchers who basically have spent their lives trying to understand it.
We go to California. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, let's get you in here. Go ahead.
George?
Hi there.
Hi, my name is Chris from Visalia, California, and I'm a local comedian.
Oh, are you? Okay, great.
Yes, great.
Make us laugh, and, Chris.
It doesn't work that way because you need to, anyone can, like, tell a joke or write a joke, like Scott was saying earlier. But, like, when he said he tried open mic and he bombed, it's about controlling energies as well. Like,
yeah.
The energies of the crowd, and like you said about laughter, like, it's contagious. Sometimes you get that one person that has this really funny laugh where it'll trigger everyone else to laugh if you can just get them to laugh, you know?
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, and I've always said this saying, because I've always done it since I wanted to do it since I was a little kid, and I tried an open mic once, ended up doing very well, they ended up calling me the natural, and I've been doing it 3 years, and I've been actually getting paid for it now, and...
Well, good for you. What do you think, Chris, is the funniest thing you've done?
The funniest thing I've done, a lot of times the impressions, people love those.
Who do you do?
I can do a Pee Wee Herman, a Bane from Batman.
Do Pee Wee Herman for a second.
Pee Wee Herman, what would you like me to say of him?
Well, something like, hey, I love listening to your show, or something like that.
Okay. Well, hey, George, I love listening to your show.
I like it.
Yeah, usually I do a little dirty bit with him, so we can't put that on the air.
No, you can't do that.
Fresno tomorrow, Fresno, California. Tomorrow between 8 and 10, I have two shows.
What's your website, Chris? Like, give it out.
Well, I don't have a website, but I do have an email. It's a muppytom, muppythome, @yahoo.com.
All right.
Or you can Facebook me, Chris Garcia. And you guys talk about that energy thing, because it's true. Like, a lot of times the energy, the way you... control the energies of crowds, it helps a lot. I had people come after a show saying they were having a bad day and they didn't really want to come, but their boyfriend or girlfriend dragged them, and they ended up enjoying themselves, and their day was fine now.
Chris, you also sound like Yoda from Star Wars.
Oh, I think I do.
Stay with us. We're going to come back, Scott, and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Email in from Thomas that says, George, I've been watching Beyond Belief since you started that program. I absolutely love it. I wish I had known earlier that I could look at all the other videos there for free as well. Why did you tell us? Well, I do. You can go to our website, beyondbelief.com, for 10 days free. You can watch the television program, Beyond Belief, but also look at all the other programs that are available. And then hopefully you will... be a member and watch us for a long, long time. That's beyondbelief.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We've got Scott Weems with us, and his book, of course, is called Ha. Scott, where do you get the book?
You can get it any hopefully local bookstores. You can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere, hopefully anywhere near you.
All right, let's go back to the calls. We go to Central New England. Professor Gonzo is with us. Hello there, Professor.
Howdy.
Hey.
How am I doing?
You are fine, I guess.
George, I got a Hollywood story for you. Back when I was a young man in Hollywood, the
lady next door had a hysterical laugh. It was very contagious. And the mockingbird that lived right next to us would land on the fence in between the houses and start laughing like the lady.
I love that.
Totally fantastic. Me and my dad would be rolling around on the floor in the house until our sides hurt. Oh, God, it was just fantastically funny.
So this bird obviously heard her laugh and it has mimicked her, and that's fun. Did she know about the bird, too?
Oh, yeah. We were all good hysterical friends.
I love that. I also
operated an old vaudeville theater in Fitchburg, Massachusetts.
Oh, I know those areas well.
Yeah, it was right across from City Hall there, the old theater.
How close were you to the big boulder?
Oh, that was, I don't know, a couple hundred yards up the road.
Yeah, right up there. And my grandfather's place and his furniture store was more up that hill.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Small world. That's funny. A mockingbird that would do something like that. I guess parrots are funny, too, like that, aren't they, Scott?
They are. It's funny how you talk about humor being contagious. I guess it's not just contagious between people, but between animals, too.
I love it. Professor, thanks. Appreciate that. That's a great story. Humor. Can you teach humor to people, or do they have to be born with it, Scott?
You know, my answer for that is, it disappoints some people, that I don't think humor can be taught, no. The short answer is it can't be taught, but it can be learned. In other words, you can, just by exposure to humor, understanding how it works, and just basically surrounding yourself by humor, you can be a funnier person and learn to appreciate it more. But if someone tells you that they've got the secret for it, that there's this magic formula, or this is going to make your jokes 200% funnier, no, I don't think that's possible. I think it requires practice to be able to tell a good joke. But fortunately, just exposure, thinking about it, understanding it, that's enough to get the benefits that really matter to people like you and me.
The person who does not have humor, maybe they were brought up badly as a child, who knows? But you could just about tell on their faces that they just don't laugh. They're not funny people. They're not light.
You're right, and it's hard to get along with those people sometimes, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, in my life, I've only known maybe one or two people who didn't laugh freely. And I mean, they're not people that you generally like to be around. I don't know why someone wouldn't enjoy just the sharing of laughter with someone else.
That's a good point. Okay, back to the calls we go. Jeffrey is with us in Rancho Cucamonga in California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, how are you this evening?
Good, Jeff. Thank you.
Hey, I'm very intrigued by this subject. I always found that I cannot remember jokes and stories that are, well thought out and presented, but I always seem to come up with the proper entendre or witticism that makes people laugh in a situation. And, I always seem to find humor in what's happening in the events that are going on around me. So I wonder if you'd comment on that, please.
Yeah, I think that's great. Jeff, I think you're right. This is kind of the humor that we are exposed to most. I mean, I think this is the most common kind of humor. It's one thing to tell a joke and have a good joke in our back pocket. And I think everybody probably has one or two favorite jokes like that. But most humor just emerges in our daily interactions. And I think that's healthy. And I think that's normal. That's the way humor was meant to be. And I think that's kind of where humor first came from, is the getting past the anxiety of meeting someone new, the general discomfort we have sometimes and in various situations. This is our most natural form of laughter, and I think that's very good.
Well, there's no question about that. I think you're onto something here with that, just by being able to laugh. But I've also found that, you know, when we're talking about creating it versus being born with it, you're right. I don't think you could really force someone to be a funny person or a humorous person. They've got to have that personality within themselves.
Yeah, and the desire. I think desire is important. And can I take a tangent too? I'm sorry, Jeff, because I don't want to change the topic too abruptly. But can I share that you actually live in the funniest city in the United States? You said Cucamonga, right? Rancho Cucamonga.
That's right. That's where he is.
There have been studies that have shown that hard consonants are funnier. So if you're telling a joke and you want to use a city, don't choose something like Toledo or Tampa or something like that. Use Rancho Cucamonga. If you've got a joke you want to have a talking animal, make it a duck or a chicken. Don't make it a dog. This is science. So congratulations for living in Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, well, why is a duck perceived to be a funnier animal?
Isn't that weird? And not only that, but there's controversy. Because Mel Brooks thought it was the chicken. Because it's got the hard consonants. It just kind of is a weird word, chicken. But then there was the study that asked people to rate their favorite jokes and had millions of jokes rated. And in the study, they actually manipulated the animals and the jokes. So they might have one version of the joke have a dog and another have a chicken or a duck. And duck won, hands down. So people like jokes with ducks. I'm not entirely sure why, other than the ending of the word is funny.
Let's go to Dennis in Detroit. Hey, Dennis, thank you.
George, thank you. How are you, sir? Scott,
good.
How are you?
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. You know, it's a great subject matter. I do have to say I'm fascinated by it because throughout my life I've found humor to be a spectacular defense system against maybe shyness, maybe not fitting in a situation. Met my now wife 7 years back, and just like you guys were saying before the last caller, there's some people that you just see it. They don't laugh. Maybe they haven't had laughter. Whatever the case may be, I had this stunning feeling of I need to make this person laugh just continuously and show this person that, you know, through laughter, there's love and there's hope and companionship. And it all, I just started it with, let me see if I can get this one person here with this little straight smile just to start laughing. And, you know, we have a beautiful family now and we own our own business together and we are literally like together 24/7. And our days just flow through with just laughter and, you know, music. And my son at four years old now, I mean, literally every single day of his life, he has been raised with laughter and time to laugh. And it actually, even going further back to your just discussion about kids, it emulates now. I mean, he's able to, you know, like when he's with grandma, he's able to make grandma laugh by doing silly things with the toys. And I just have to say, if there is a meaning of existence, it's got to stem somewhere from not the ability, but the sharing in laughter. And I absolutely find, Scott, I absolutely find the research that you've done to be fascinating. And I actually look forward to grabbing your book as soon as I can, because I absolutely, I mean, I will, on my deathbed, I will say I lived a life of laughter, and it's gold, man. It's absolute gold. I'm very sorry. One quick thing about that, though, is with the abilities that I've had to just bring people together through this laughter. Myself, though, Scott, I find humor in nothing.
Huh.
I mean, I do laugh, you know, but it's like when my wife makes me crack a smile, she, you know, she stands up and points like, I made you laugh. And it's crazy because I absolutely find it to be the most spectacular thing. And my ability to do it is flawless, of course, on the spot. No, but I lack the ability of course, you know, I see things and they're funny and I know they're funny and I get a good kick out of it, but to really click it, it's almost like an every so often a year of things. So when I really do get it and I get that feeling and I get that rush and that adrenaline and that high from the, you know, the laughter, it's like this spectacular release like no other. And if there's a science behind that, I mean, could there actually be a sense of I've just, you know, spent so much time just being the one to make the people laugh that it just doesn't strike me?
Yeah, Dennis, you raised, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Were you going to say something, George?
No. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Dennis, I love your comment. That I think you're absolutely onto something, too. And onto something very important that, yes, there actually is a science behind that feeling that you're describing. And people have looked at brains, people's brains, as they enjoyed humor, and also as they had epiphanies. These are kind of the chills down your spine feeling sometimes, these moments of rich emotional experience. And they've seen that the same brain regions are active during humor and these breakthroughs, I guess. And without getting too technical into the parts of the brain, it all has to do with a chemical called dopamine, which is our reward chemical.
Yeah.
And anytime you feel good, you get more dopamine in your brain. And it's also linked with things like chocolate and certain illegal drugs. So in a way, humor is a natural high. So I think you're onto something very important. And the great thing about humor and just generally being able to smile and enjoy life is that it's not like these other things like chocolate or drugs. It you can do it naturally, and it's always available.
Dramatic all by itself. But in his particular case, too, you know, the fact that he does make other people laugh, I think that's important, isn't it?
It is. I mean, humor is social. I mean, there's a saying that common sense walks, but humor dances. And that's what humor is. It's a dancing. It's a connecting with another person and finding a shared rhythm. And it's that shared rhythm that helps you build relationships. And I think that's why you were talking about how, Dennis, you and your wife kind of build on, you know, these shared moments. Studies have also shown that people with really successful marriages, these are lasting like 45 years or more, that's what they share in common, is that wanting to make each other smile and laugh, which I think even shows how humor is even more important maybe than we've been saying.
Some sayings, too, like, you know, he's laughing all the way to the bank and things like that. How did that all start?
Oh, wow. I had never even thought about that saying before, but you're right. Yeah, man, my guess is it's probably the same kind of feeling. I don't know. Laughing and going to the bank, I'd have to dissect that a little bit closer. I'm not sure.
You've heard of that before, haven't you?
I have. It's been a while. I'm trying to think. You would say that like if you're getting some sort of windfall, but then somebody's trying to tell you that it's not a windfall, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or someone like a Bernie Madoff, you know, would be laughing all the way to the bank until it all collapsed around it.
Yeah, and that's certainly a weird experience. You have a combination of positive and negative that, yeah, I could see why laughing in that sense would probably be very similar to like a villain laughing at the end of a dramatic movie or something like that. You've got some sort of weird feeling of success combined with failure.
Let's go to Gary in El Paso, Texas. Hey, Gary, good morning. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Gary.
I was blind. I've been blind since 1993. But I was a roofer, and back in the 80s, and we were at this bank, and we were having a roofers meeting with the bankers, and this lady walks in front of the bank, and she looks in the mirror or looks in the window, and she's looking pretty hot, and so she comes in the bank, and she's walking around in front of all of us roofers. There's about 20 or 30 of us in there, and then she's going from one place to another, and all these guys, she's got a little short skirt on, and she's going from all these different areas where these men were sitting, and she bends down and picks up a piece of paper, and everybody's just watching her. She picks this piece of paper, and she turns around, and she starts walking. She runs right into this glass window. Her glasses she had on, George, it went up to her forehead. You know, and she turned back and looked at us. She had this stupid look on her face, and all of us, we were just all laughing. It was so damn funny.
That's hilarious. and it's funnier when you think somebody would never do that.
Well, she acted like she was showing herself off. That's what was so funny about it.
Yeah,
she got caught. She was showing herself off to everybody, and, you know, and then she forgot to watch what she was doing, and she ran right into that window. It was so damn funny. That was one of the
one of the last and a few things I remember in my blindness, that all the funny things that happen, people who trip, that's it. They're walking, they're strutting, they're just kicking it tough down the street, and they're looking good, you know, they're dressed to the nines, and all of a sudden they trip, and they fall down, and they look around. They look around like, who saw me? Who saw me? And all the cars are honking.
I love I like that laugh.
I do, too.
That's infectious.
It is. It's hard not to laugh when you hear that.
I every once in a while, will end the program on a Friday night with this tape I've got of a guy who is witnessing an accident, and two women get out of their car, and they beat him. And this guy's describing it like a play-by-play, and it's absolutely hilarious. I mean, it brings tears to your eyes. And let me ask you that biologically. Why do you sometimes cry when you laugh so hard?
You know, crying is another fascinating thing that we know very little about. I mean, there have been some theories on why we do it. I think with laughter and crying, part of it is just, I mean, laughter is a kind of violent thing in a way. I mean, it really shakes the body up. And anytime you shake the body up that much, there are bound to be side effects and things like that. So it might be just, you know, the eyes are stressed and water comes out. But that's a good question. I kind of want to look that up a little bit more and see if there's anything recently more on that.
Scott, we're almost out of time. I do want to let everybody know who is on hold. If you want to just hang there, I'll get you during open lines, because we're almost out of time here with Scott Weems with his book, Ha, which is very well done. I like the cover. Who did it?
Oh, thank you. This was my publisher, came up with the title, came up with the cover, and I'm looking to see. I forgot the artist's name, but I've actually not met the artist. I really hope to someday, but I'm very proud of it. I think it's great. And the title, I have to give credit to my wife. She was the one who came up with that, and I thank her for it every day.
Super. Is this your first book?
It is. It is my first book, and hopefully many to come. And can I also mention, I have a website where you can get links to where you can buy it, too. It's www.scottweems.com.
And we've got that linked up for you, Scott, right at coasttocoastam.com.
So great. And if anybody wants to send me jokes, too, that's great.
All right. So a guy walked into it. Well, I'll tell you later. Scott, thanks for being on the program.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a great time.
I'm going to come back in a moment. We've got open lines here. We'll talk about the missing Malaysian plane and other issues. And those of you on hold, we'll get to you, too, on Coast to Coast AM.